On the International Day for Elimination of Violence Against Women, 16 days of activism were commenced. Running from the 25th of this month until the 10th of December, various campaigns are pledged towards ending gender-based abuse. Feminist insider Claire Totizo from the YWCA joins us now to tell us more. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning.
So what kind of events and campaigns are running over these 16 days?
So there are quite a few, and certainly you might have seen the 16 days hashtag floating around the internet. And as you said, it did start on Saturday, and that was the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. And it ends on the 10th of December, which is actually the International Human Rights Day. So the idea was that a campaign would start where it's kind of linking women's rights with human rights. And I think it was Hillary Clinton who made that statement famous, that women's rights are human rights. And so really it's a bit of a call to action to everybody that they can do something every day during this campaign to help to end, put an end to gender-based violence. And, there's different actions that people might be asking for that might be around education, and the theme of this year is actually focused on education. So part of that is about educating ourselves about the issue and making sure we understand the facts and we know, what we're talking about when we think about gender-based abuse. And, we were just talking earlier off air about the statistics, and, the most recent ones have come out, and even on Saturday at the White Ribbon Breakfast it was said that the number of women that are dying every week is almost two a week at the hands of a current or former partner. And, these statistics have to change. And the more we know, I think, about what's going on and what the issue is, the better we can address it and the better we can tackle it.
So you've spoken about there being some activities happening for these 16 days of activism. What are the sort of Adelaide local-based activities we can get involved in?
I would actually hop onto the Women's Information Service. They've got a great campaign going on their Facebook, and it's little things that you can do every day. We did have the White Ribbon Breakfast. We had the White Ribbon March as well on Saturday, so hopefully some of you got along to that. But in terms of actual activities, lots of different workplaces are doing things. You can certainly, as I said, hop onto the Women's Information Service because they'll have all that information up there about, what you might be able to actually physically get involved with and what online campaigns you might be able to support. I know the Australian unions are really pushing with their campaign to actually implement paid domestic violence leave into their workplaces. And so they've got videos and online campaigns that you can support, I suppose, which is really important.
And I read that you can donate as well. So if we donate, what does our money go towards?
Look, it's really up to you. And I think, that no one's necessarily specifying who you should donate to, but it's about saying individuals as well as governments and communities can do something. And so if you felt like you wanted to donate to something, then we would really encourage you to think about donating to services that either support victims or survivors of violence. So that might be women's shelters, it might be the Women's Safety Service in South Australia, which does a fantastic job. It could also be to organisations that work to prevent violence, and there's a whole stack out there who do education campaigns or, respectful relationships programs in schools or have other kind of awareness-raising campaigns. And I won't mention any, so I don't want to be biased, but, if you know of some, then I really encourage you during this time to donate.
You touched briefly just then on the idea of having paid domestic violence leave. This seems like a very important issue and something that definitely needs to go ahead, especially in order to help get that number from two a week down to none, which is what deservedly should happen. How far along the chains are we on getting paid domestic violence leave?
Well, fortunately, a lot of workplaces are actually taking it up now. So our organisation, the YWCA, we offer paid domestic violence leave. There's banks that have offered it as well. I believe Telstra has it in their policy. So they have a policy where they do provide paid domestic violence leave. The South Australian government also provides, I believe it's 10 days of paid DV leave. So we are seeing a real uptake from workplaces. And I think the push from Australian unions is to actually get it into our awards and into our federated agreements, so that all people are protected, all people have that access to that. To that leave. And, you know, there's arguments out there that it may be too costly for workplaces, but they have actually, you know, economists have done costings on this, and the cost to workplaces is really minimal. But when we think about the cost of domestic violence, which is around $21 billion a year, you know, it actually also makes economic sense, because, you know, when we have women who might be able to, who you know, productivity is decreased, or where they perhaps lose their job or lose wages because they're unable to go to work or unable to disclose because they don't have a supportive workplace, that's a real cost as well, not only a health and emotional cost, but also an economic cost.
We're speaking with our feminist insider, Claire Tutizo. In fairly recent news, the Workplace Gender Equality Agency was released. Give us the good and the bad news.
So, yeah, there was good and bad news. And the Workplace Gender Equality Agency do great work. And I think, you know, when we think about internationally, a lot of other countries look to us and really praise us for the amount of data that we collect on issues around gender equality and, you know, things like violence against women, but also looking at women in leadership, looking at the gender pay gap. So every year they release a report that kind of measures how we're going and what workplaces are actually doing. Good news is that workplaces are actually doing more to address gender pay gaps and gender imbalances. So they are taking up, you know, maybe different options. They may be creating policies around gender equality. They're also implementing things like flexible working arrangements. And also we saw that there was an increase in women being promoted into leadership, which is great. And the pay gap is on a very slow downward trend, which is also good. It's at 22.4%, which is down 0.7%, but, you know, it is on a slowly steady decrease.
Down is down.
Yeah, down is down. The bad news is that men still out-earn women in every industry and every occupation in Australia. So it means that we have a lot of work to do. And in fact, some industries, the pay gap has actually widened. So that's in areas like retail, healthcare, education, accommodation and food services, and also administrative services. And a lot of these are already women, female-dominated industries. So even within female-dominated industries, there's a pay gap, and it's actually a little bit wider than some other industries. So, you know, the other bad news is that when it comes to boards, there's actually no improvement in terms of the numbers of women going onto company boards. So that speaks a little bit to, you know, how we need to, I guess, increase women's leadership within that governance sort of structure, because that's really important, and that's often where all the big decisions are made.
So how is it that we end up, we've been talking about this pay gap, it seems that every fortnight, just about, this topic or something like it comes up. How is it that it has sustained itself for so long and it still isn't quite going away? I mean, 0.7% down isn't a big turn for such a big conversation. So how come it's happening so slowly?
I think because the pay gap is so complex, and it's not just one thing. And if you really want to understand the issue, then you can hop onto the Workplace Gender Equality Agency. But a lot of, you know, part of it is around the gaps that women may take throughout their career, or the fact that when they if they go on maternity leave or take time out to raise children, they don't get superannuation, or they have a gap in terms of their average income. Also, discrimination and unconscious bias is actually a factor as well, even when you take out all of the other factors that might occur. So it's really about tackling the issue on a number of levels, and I think that's why it's sometimes difficult to actually create some tangible outcomes. But I do think that's where things like quotas or looking at your recruitment practices and seeing if there's any gender bias within that, or how you can actually retain women into those positions, perhaps if they take time off work. Flexible working arrangements is really important for both men and women, and I think, you know, we do want to make sure that men have the opportunity to take up flexible working arrangements if they've got, say, caring roles, for example, so that women can remain in the workplace if they choose to as well, and so that they can spend time with their families if they want to. So it's really about kind of almost shifting how we think about work. And, you know, the workplace is traditionally seen as a traditionally male sphere, and women tended to be at home. And now we've seen a real shift in that, and certainly families need dual income. So it's very practical that that women are in the workplace, but it's also the right thing to do. So we need to actually start looking at how we can shift how we, you know, the workplace structures so that it actually suits both men and women. And, you know, it's good to see that there is some progress. And I think that, you know, maybe if we have a little bit more transparency and accountability in workplaces, in terms of wages, in terms of recruitment, in terms of, you know, how we retain our staff, then we can actually see a lot more progress happen faster.
Moving back to workplace gender equality, one argument I've seen come up a few times is women will be taking jobs away from men. Is that at all true, or are they creating jobs for those female roles?
Well, I think, I mean, it's a little, it's a funny argument because it's assuming that it was men's jobs in the first place. And I think we need to start shifting away from that attitude that there's an entitlement of men to particular roles. And it's just, you know, that the Australian government at the last, one of the last G20 summits committed to reducing the gap between men and women's participation in the workforce by about 25% by the year 2025. We know that if actually we increase women's participation in the workforce, our GDP will increase by quite a bit, actually, by billions of dollars. So there is an economic case for increasing women into the workforce, and that doesn't necessarily mean we're shoving men out. It can seem that way, and you know, there's that sort of tipping point argument that once we reach 30% of women, it sort of seems like there's so many women, but it's still only 30%. And you know, when we think about our parliament, that's our average of how many women are in our parliament currently. But it's, you know, we are 50% of the population. And so, you know, diversity works on an economic level, but it's also about, again, human rights and equality. And so it's really about making space for women in those areas.
A little competition doesn't hurt either.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Right. Well, thanks very much, Claire. It's been a good chat. Hopefully we can continue to see some of these trends continuing to improve.
That's right. And it's great to have data, especially from the Workplace Gender Equality Agency. And I think it puts a little bit of pressure on companies to do things when they know that they have to report on these things. So you can certainly check that out and have a look for yourself.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Claire. You're listening to Radio Adelaide Breakfast.